I want to share with you tonight one of the most significant things and certainly one of the most interesting things that God has spoken to my heart about lately. You say, John, does God really speak to your heart? Does God say things to you? Yes, He does. And I've noticed this. God, let me say it this way. I can hear God more clearly if I have drowned out some of the noise that is in my life. And when things are quiet, I tend to hear from God a little bit more clearly, and I'm sure that that's true in your life as well. But in Habakkuk chapter number 2, I want you to look down in verse number 20. Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in His holy temple. Now watch the next part of the verse. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Let's say that part, just the last part together. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. And so there are times in our lives when we need to be silent before the Lord, when we just need to be listening to God as to what He might would say to us. Now, here's what happened to me. About 3 weeks ago, we had a funeral on a Monday morning here at the church for a young man named Michael Unfried. And some of you might have known Michael, and some of you might know his family. I used to be Michael's student minister when he was a teenager growing up, and now he was 36 years of age, and sadly and tragically, he was hit. He worked downtown Houston, and one day when he was leaving his office to go back to prepare to come home, he was crossing a street, and a Metro bus was turning the corner, and the bus hit Michael, ran over him, and killed him. And so we had the service here in the church. He was saved here many years ago. Roland Hill baptized him many years ago, a fine young man. But he was killed tragically. And so Dad and I both spoke at his service. That was on a Monday morning. Well, on Wednesday, we had a funeral scheduled for a man who was on the complete other end of life. Nolan Ivins, a longtime member of our church. He was 90 years of age and had been so faithful in life and even to the church up until the very end. But finally, in the hospital, his heart just stopped beating and he died. And so we were having his service in here on that Wednesday, if I'm remembering correctly. Well, between those 2 days, on the Tuesday night when I got home from work, I was just a little bit, sometimes things like that can drain you a little bit, and they take a toll on you, especially if you were close to the people who died. And so I got home on that Tuesday night about 6:30 or 6:45 and started putting all my stuff up, and I thought, tonight I don't want to do anything. I don't want to read. I don't want to study. I don't want to think. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit in my house, turn on the television on, and put my mind in neutral. Now, do you ever not have a night like that? Just say amen. Amen. How many of you have one 7 nights a week like that? You just well, we probably don't need it 7 nights a week, but we may need 2 or 3 of those every week. And so I was in my study, and the clock was about 6:55, and I thought, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go into the living room area. I call it a den, but whatever you call it in your house. I said, I'm going to go into my den, and I'm going to put the television on MeTV, and from 7 to 8 o'clock, I'm going to watch 2 episodes of Andy Griffith, because for me, anytime I can visit Mayberry, it's a very relaxing experience, and I thought, now that's what I need tonight is two shows of Mayberry. Well, as clearly as I know the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit, it was just like God said to me, John, why don't you not go into the den and turn the television on until 7:30? Why don't you spend the next 30 minutes just sitting in here and having a brief time of prayer and meditation? And to be honest with you, because I have a flesh just like you do, I didn't say it to God, but I just thought, God, I'd rather go to Mayberry, really, than to do that. But I felt like He said it to me, and so I thought, well, if that's what He wants me to do, that's what I'll do. And so I sat in my chair, turned on the lamp and the light, and I'm sitting there. And I had already read my Bible and prayed, and so I wasn't going to have a quiet time that I had somehow missed. But I just felt like God saying, just sit there and be in a spirit of prayer. You can be in a spirit of prayer and not have to pray. And so I just sat there, and my mind was in neutral. I wasn't thinking about anything. I wasn't going through a prayer list in my mind. I wasn't thinking about a sermon. I don't even know that I was thinking about anything. My mind was just in neutral. Well, about 10 or 15 minutes into that time of just sitting before the Lord in silence, like it says in Habakkuk, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silenced before him. And so I was being silent. And it was almost like God had already said to me, John, don't get too upset. You can still go back in there at 7:30 and watch the second episode, which I did. But about 7:15 or so, I started thinking about my own prayer life and how I do my prayer life. Now, I hope that you have a time each day when you read your Bible and when you pray. I'm sure most of you do. Well, for me, back during the holidays, I had spent a significant amount of time thinking about what would be my Bible reading and my devotional plan for the new year. And so I had my reading materials all lined out, my Bible reading plan, I had decided it, and I had already started by this time on my new prayer plan for 2017. Now, before I really get into this very deep tonight, let me say this. God is a God of order. If you believe that, say amen. It says in the scripture that we are to do all things decently and in order. In another place, it says that God is not the God of confusion. If God lived in a house like we live in a house, God's house would be very neat. God's house would be very straight. God's house would be very clean, because that's just how God is. If God were in a physical form tonight and he came to this service, I'm not saying God would be wearing a $1,000 suit. I doubt he would. But I'll tell you this, God would be clean and God would be neat tonight. That's just who God is. He wouldn't be trying to show out or show off, but God would be, he would present himself very well, even if he were in a physical form like when Jesus was on the earth. I can assure you, Jesus always presented himself well. So God is a God of order. So you take that truth and apply it to every area of your life, and it will help you. And so I started thinking about 7:15 that night about my own prayer life, and I started thinking about my prayer notebook or my prayer book. And I started thinking, God, we're only a few weeks into the new year, and yet the same thing is happening in my prayer book this year already that happened last year and the year before. And that is, at least for me, the way I have been doing my prayer book, it gets a little bit cumbersome, it gets full, and we should all have a full prayer book, but we need to have it organized in such a way that it is simple and functional. And so I was already frustrated with the method of praying that I was spending. And by the way, as you think about your prayer life, I would never suggest to you too specifically how to do that, because it is very personal. And I'll say this tonight, if you are currently happy with your current prayer life, how you're praying, I would say you keep doing exactly what you're doing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So don't change something that's working for you. But if you would say tonight that your prayer life is stagnant or dry or boring or cumbersome or routine, or you feel stuck, or maybe your prayer life is non-existent. Maybe you're doing a good job of reading the Bible and you're reading some of these materials even that we've made available here at the church, but I'm talking about your prayer life. Maybe your prayer life is not all that you want it to be, then I would encourage you to listen carefully to me for the next 20 minutes or so, and you might want to consider adopting my plan tonight. It's interesting, when R.T. Kendall was here a few weeks ago, my dad and I took him and his son out to eat on the night before he was to preach. I say we took him out. Actually, you can't take Dr. Kendall out because, or at least on that Saturday night, He says to us, I insist on buying the meal. Now, the guest preacher never buys the meal, except if you're R.T. Kendall. And he buys our... Well, as we were at the restaurant that night, and we had taken him to one of Pasadena's finest establishments, Andy's Barbecue, ladies and gentlemen. We had gone there, and he absolutely loved it, by the way. And of course, we did. But I had written out 17 questions for him. And at the end of the meal, and we've all gotten close, I mean, we feel friends, we feel very comfortable with him. And I said, Dr. Kendall, or he insists on us calling him R.T., and I don't feel right about calling an 81-year-old man like that. But I did. I said, R.T., I said, I've got 17 questions here, and I can ask them quickly, and I know you can answer them quickly, so I think in 10 minutes I can have all my questions answered. And I'm firing questions, he's firing answers. Questions, answers, questions, answers. How do you do this? How do you do this as a sermon? How do you know what to say when in this setting? How do you? Well, that night I got 14 of my questions asked, and I had three other ones that I decided to pull back, and I asked him the next morning when I was bringing him to church. One of the questions I asked him had to do with his own schedule, his quiet time. Now, at the dinner table, I had asked him what time he goes to bed, what time he gets up, what he snacks on. I'm wanting to learn everything I can. But one of the questions I asked him the next day was, I said, if it's not too personal, RT, I would like to know how long is your daily quiet time? And he said, it's not too personal at all. He said, it's approximately 2 hours. And I knew enough about what he did in that two-hour period of time, and he's certainly not suggesting that mine be 2 hours, and nobody's suggesting that yours be 2 hours. That's between you and God. But I knew in his quiet time that he had a time when he read the Bible and when he prayed. Those are the two main things you do during a quiet time. You read the Bible and you pray. And part of that prayer time is not just talking. Part of your prayer time is sitting there in silence and listening to God. Some people say, well, God never says anything to me. Well, when's the last time you sat in a quiet place and just listened and didn't say anything to him? Well, I knew he had a prayer notebook. I was not sure how he structured it, and I didn't press him on that. But as I'm back in my study now, bringing you back to that during the Andy Griffith Show, I'm listening, just be quiet with God. And it was like God said to me, John, if you would organize your prayer book differently, your prayer life would be better. It would be deeper, it would be simpler, and it would not be such a burden to you as the year goes on. In other words, when you start a prayer book in January, if you're just writing down a few requests, well, for the first few weeks, that's not hard to pray for those things. But by the time you get to July and August, if you're still praying for things you were praying for in January, it takes a long time to go through all that. And so I just thought, well, God's on to something here, because this is kind of the one thing I've been thinking about. And I began to think, well, maybe the reason God told me to be quiet is because he is going to give me something very specific that I can do in my prayer life. Now, before I get into it, this is the prayer book I'm using right now. I would encourage you, if you don't have a prayer book, you don't have to buy. This is a nice journal that somebody gave me, a hardback journal. You can go to the Walgreens and buy a spiral notebook, do just as well. Or you can buy something like this. We probably have them in our bookstore. Certainly you can get them in other places. But God, as I'm just sitting there, God spoke to my heart and he laid a word on my mind, and the word is tip. How do you spell tip? I'm sitting in my chair, and that word came to my mind, tip. And I'm thinking, now God, what does that have to do with how I organize my prayer book? And it was like God just spoke to my heart, because I think God knows I like acrostics, by the way. So God speaks to us he speaks in our language. And it was like God said to me, you should divide your prayer book into categories. And the first category it starts with a T, and it's the word thanksgiving. Now I want to just give you all three of these, and then I'm going to come back to it. The second category is the word intercession. And the third category is the word petition. I want to say that again. Thanksgiving, intercession, petition. Say that with me. Thanksgiving, intercession, petition. And so I knew that, I mean, I just know how God speaks to me, and you know how God speaks to you, and I knew that God had put this on my heart. And so I began the process, some that night and some in the days after that, of getting a prayer book. This is one I've had for a while that I hadn't started using. I went into one of my closets and I got it out and I started organizing it. And so at the first of my prayer book, I just have, it says here, my Thanksgiving list. And so it was like God said to me, when you start your prayer time, the wisest way to do that is to begin by thanking me for some of your blessings, or as many of your blessings as you want to. Now, Thanksgiving is extremely important to God, and I had lots of verses I was going to have us look up tonight, and it would be a good thing for you to do sometime on your own just to get a concordance or Google it on your phone, how many times the word thanksgiving or thanks appears in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, in the 100th Psalm, the Bible says, enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So we're to enter his gates. And so when you get alone with God for a time of prayer, you have come into his gates, you have come into his courts, and you begin that by thanking him for all the blessings he's given to you. When you thank God, there's something about thanking God that touches his heart. Do you remember in Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers who were healed from their leprosy? And after they had been healed, one of the 10 came back to Jesus and he said, Lord, I just want to thank you for healing me of leprosy. And Jesus said to that man, weren't there 10 total who were healed? Where are the other 9? Jesus was saying in essence to that man, and he knew one day we would read that story. Jesus was saying, I appreciate it when people thank me for the things that I have done for them in their life. And so I would encourage you, don't try to do all these categories when you get home tonight, or even to try, devote a week to this project so you'll think it through. But just on your Thanksgiving list, just write out some things, and I'm not going to read you everything on my Thanksgiving list, because for one thing, I don't think it would be appropriate, but some of the things that I'll read, I will share just the first few that I have on my list, because I think you would have some of the same things on your list. I've written number one, thank you that I'm saved, and that I'm 100% sure that I'm saved. And if you're not sure what to put on your Thanksgiving list, if you know you're saved, that should be number one. And then I have on mine, because of other things, I have thank you that I'm healed, thank you that I'm in your hands, you're absolutely in control of my life. And I have other things, and if I start reading too many more, I'll start getting emotional. Thank you that I'm a minister. Thank you that I'm at First Baptist Church. That's about as far as I can go. I'll start getting too personal to me. But those, the first 5 things that I thank God for, try to do it every day. Now, there's something about Thanksgiving. In fact, I read in a devotional book yesterday by Dr. Kendall a quote that says, one of the quickest routes to having a greater anointing in your life is to show gratitude to God in everything. Many of us, when we wake up in the morning, our minds are so full on everything we have to do that day that we feel rushed, and even if we do have a quiet time, it's like, okay, God, help me this today. God, bless my family. God, help bless the church. God, do it. But if we'll slow it down, whether we do this in the morning or at night, I have 3 different things I read each morning in my prayer time, including the Bible. And then I have, there are 4 things in my Bible reading plan, then my prayer book. And so sometimes, at the first, I was trying to do all of those in one sitting, and it takes a good while to do that, and that's fine. But you know, I got thinking one day, we don't eat our food like that. You don't get up in the morning and have breakfast, some eggs and bacon and a piece of toast, and then as soon as you get finished, say, well, it's eating time. I think now I'll go ahead and have some tacos and refried beans and rice. And then you finish that, and you say, well, tonight I was going to have some fish, so let me go ahead and grill up a little fish. You don't eat all your meals at one time. You spread your meals out throughout the day. And so you may want to think about maybe not even trying to do all of your devotional thing at one time. May want to spread it out throughout the day. And in the Old Testament, it says that they prayed in the morning and at noon and at night. And so you may want to do a little bit in the morning, maybe 20 minutes, 15, 30 minutes, whatever. You may want to read during your lunch break or at 5 o'clock in the evening for a little bit more. And maybe at night before you go to bed or in the end of the day, you may want to have your prayer time. Or you may want to do it all at once. But what I'm saying is, however you do that, begin your prayer time by thanking God for His blessings. Now, that's what the T stands for. Now, the I stands for intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is when I pray for you, or when I pray for members of my family, or when I pray for somebody whom God has placed on my heart. Now, I do want to show you a verse here. Turn back a few pages to the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 22. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. is a tremendous verse, verse number 30. God is speaking, Ezekiel 22, 30. And God said, so I sought a man among them, now watch this, who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So God said, on one occasion, he was looking down from heaven, and he was looking at his people, and his people were not living right, and they stood in on the brink of judgment. And God said, as I was looking down on the land, I was looking to see if I could find somebody who would stand in the gap for my people. He said, but I wasn't able to find anyone. Well, in the same way today, when God looks down from heaven, God is looking for intercessors. God is looking for someone. What does an intercessor do? An intercessor stands in the gap for someone else. And so the second major section, at least in my prayer book, is intercession. And what I have done, I've just made a list of people and things in my own life that I'm praying for. And I would encourage you to do that in your life as well. And these are people and these are things that I pray for every day. These are just people, certainly my family, and others whom God has placed on my heart, and I pray for them that God would meet their needs and that God would be close to them. And some days I just mention their name and go to the next one, and some days I might spend a little bit of more time praying for that person if I know something that's going on in their life. And normally what I do when I get to the intercession part, I say, now God, there's some things that I pray for all of these people all at the same time. And I just pray that you'll bless them with good health and safety and strength. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit. I ask you to fill them with your Spirit, give them wisdom, help them in all they do today, God. And so I kind of pray in bulk, as it were, and then I begin to mention the names. And sometimes as I'm mentioning the names or the situation, as the case may be, I pray a little bit more specifically. Our church is on my intercession list. But what I'm saying is there are a few things. There's nothing that you could do for another person as important as praying for them. And I had a man say to me a few weeks ago, and I had not asked for this, because I don't think I would have asked for something quite this personal. I would have felt like I was crossing a line. I didn't initiate it at all. But I had a man say to me, he said, John, I want to make a commitment to you tonight. We're talking about something else. This just came out of the blue. He said, I want to make a commitment tonight that I'm going to put your name on my prayer list, and I'm going to pray for you by name every day for this entire year. And I cannot begin to tell you what that meant to me. And then at the end he said, and I'm going to put your dad's name right next to yours. And I can't tell you what that meant. So when you intercede for a person, you are standing in the gap. And you know, sometimes people that whom we love are going through situations, and we so badly sometimes want to help them and fix them if we could. But did you know when you're praying, it's like you're getting in touch with God, and then you're helping God to get in touch with them, and God can do so much better as He works to help and do whatever in people's lives, even than we can. So I would encourage you to have a section for intercession. And then in my book, the third section, the third major section, remember the word T-I-P, and the P stands for petition. Petition, that's when we pray to God for ourselves, things going on in our lives. And I'm looking at my pages now. And I'll tell you something I've added even recently to my own petition. I read it the other day. I've added the prayer of Jabez to my own page. And if you remember that prayer that Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, where he said, he prayed four things. He said, God, I pray that you would bless me. I pray that you would enlarge my territory. I pray that you would keep your hand on me. And I pray that you would keep me from evil. And years ago when that book, Prayer of Jabez, came out and we all read it and were blessed, and I got trying to memorize, and how do you know that? B-E-H-K. I have to do everything by an acrostic. I remember nothing if I don't know it that way. B-E-H-K, Beck. It looks like a German word. That's how they spell words in the German language. But that, so when I'm praying the Jabez, prayer of Jabez, that's what I'm in my mind. That's my outline. I say, God, I just pray you'll bless me. However you want to bless me, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, relationally, within the church, preaching, however you want to bless me. I'm asking for that. You say you think we should ask God to bless us? You better believe we should. He tells us to. But we don't start out by asking God to bless us. We start out by thanking God for how He already has blessed us. And then we pray for others. We stand in the gap for them so that we're not selfish and focused only on ourselves. And then, yes, we begin to say, pray, God bless me. And Jabez said, God bless me indeed. You can say that. God, don't just bless me, but really bless me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. God, in my particular case as a preacher, I say, God, I pray you will expand my witness for you, give me more opportunities to preach the gospel. And you know, to the glory of God, wasn't even going to share this tonight, but it just fits this point. I told you a few weeks ago that we were thinking about buying these radio stations in these different cities. And I think we'll still come back to that eventually. But God opened a door for us to be on Sirius XM, the 32 million subscribers in the United States and Canada. And it's an amazing thing. Well, this morning at 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock on the East Coast, we had our first program on Sirius XM Radio. And we thank God for that. And I'm between services this morning, a lady came up to me and said, John, I just want you to know, before you even welcome the guest, we just finished the Jerusalem Project. For 5 years, we've been trying to go to over 47,000 homes in a five-mile radius of our church, and we finished it today. And so God is to be thanked, and you're to be commended, because that's what y'all have done. But it is no coincidence that on the day we finished the Jerusalem Project, that we started our ministry on Sirius XM, where we preach our church preached the gospel today throughout the United States and Canada for people who have that particular radio station and who were listening in that time. We don't know how many, but we think there'd be a lot of people. But see, what God is saying is, you're being faithful in Jerusalem. You're doing what you do. You've been to over 47,000 homes. So God says, now let me give you Judea. Now let me give you Samaria. Now let me give you the ends of the earth. And all in the world He's going to do, if we'll stay faithful, He's going to expand those opportunities, multiply our ministry. A lot of people are going to get saved through that. So what I'm saying is, for me, you have to adapt that to you. But that's one of the things. God, enlarge my territory. Well, He's enlarging all of our territory. God, keep your hand on me. When I pray that, I say, God, I pray you would place both hands of anointing on my life, so that my life would have the power of God on it. Not just when I'm preaching, but everything I do. And then that K, God, keep me from evil. Help me not to sin. There's not anything we could do worse than sinning. And so we say, God, I don't want to sin. And sometimes I do, and sometimes we all do. But God, keep me from sin. Help me to live a clean life. And so when you're at your time of petition, and you're just praying through these things, you know what I've noticed? Sometimes when we're praying, we feel like we're wasting time. Sometimes, I mean, I know I would never say it that way, but sometimes I have so many things that I feel like I need to be doing, like at church. And sometimes I just think, well, I need to just do this and tell this, get this person to help me with this, and we need to do this, and we need to have a meeting about this, we need to have a meeting about this. I'm not saying we never need to have a meeting, but friend, I'm telling you this, the most important meeting that you can ever have is the meeting you have every day with God. You know, we had James Brown here last week preaching. You mean to tell you how that happened? It didn't happen because we scheduled it out 6 months in advance. It happened because we tried to get him in March, and he said, John, I've got a conflict on that date. He said, I tell you what to do. I'm going to cancel the commitment I have up here in Maryland, and I'm going to just come to Pasadena on that date because that's the date y'all want me. And he was going to do that. And I said, James, I don't want you to do that because that's not how friends do it. Friends don't put pressure on friends. And you need to, whatever that commitment is you have, you need to go to that church and you need to preach to that church. And you have our full blessing. And if God wants you to come here, we'll find another date. Well, anyway, 2 weeks ago, we were in community. And it was just like God said, well, why don't you just send a text and try to see if he wants to come over here on last Sunday night. Now, God told me that while I was praying. It was not in a meeting. I was not like, you know, nobody would say I was, quote, working at that time. I was praying. But God spoke to me. And God said, contact him and see if he can come next Sunday night. And I did, and he said yes. And it was totally of God. And it was one of the best Sunday night services we've had around here in a long time. But what I'm saying is, that whole service last night had virtually zero to do with organization and planning. And I'm not opposed to organization and planning. But that was purely something God put on my heart while I was praying. And so what I'm saying to you is, whatever your job or your responsibilities are, when you are praying, God is working on your behalf. See, I could have been up here with all the staff, and we could have said, hey, let's plan a great service next Sunday night. What's your idea? What's your idea? What's your idea? John, what's your idea? Well, none of our ideas were as good as God's idea. And so when we pray, and that led me to write this in my, I think I wrote it somewhere else. But basically what I learned out of that is we need to pray and put the details of our lives in God's hands and let God work everything out. So petition is something when we simply pray for ourselves. So you still listening? Say amen. Lots of verses I could show you in the Bible on that. You have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. So yes, we are supposed to pray for ourselves. So now it's about 7:25. And I'm thinking, well, you know, God, this tip, you gave me a tip on how to organize my prayer book. And this tip is doing me a lot more good than Andy and Barney would have done for me if I'd have turned that on tonight. And as the clock was getting, and this was all completed by 7:30. Because I think God knew by then I needed to go in there and really relax, and I did. God wants us to relax. And so it was like God said, I want to add one more thing to that tip. I want to add an S to it, and I want to make my tip plural. Because when I give you a tip, I don't just give you one thing. I'm giving you tips. I'm giving you exceedingly abundantly above you anything you could ever think or imagine. So the S, and this is the fourth and final category in my prayer book, and you might want to consider it, is simply this: special words from God. Special words from God. These are the things that God speaks to your heart when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading your devotional books, when you are coming to church on Sunday and listening to a sermon, when you're in your connection group and your teacher is teaching. Anything, God may speak to you through His Spirit. God may speak to you through nature. God may speak to you through circumstances. God may speak to you through another person. But you need somewhere in your prayer book where you can just write down something God has said to you. Now, I'm not going to read I'm not going to read you what everything He said to me, because it wouldn't be appropriate, but I'll read you just two or three things that God has spoken to my heart. Most of this has come through devotional things I have read. Some of it has just come from life, but I'll just read you enough. It's not personal, but it is kind of personal, but it has certainly been a blessing to me. One of the things God spoke to me on New Year's Day through a devotional book I read, and I simply wrote it down: my reaction and my response is more important than the situation itself. Now you think about that. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to have a new week, and we're going to have all kinds of situations. Your reaction to those situations is more important than the situation itself. And so that is, to me, there is some depth to that and something that I can easily apply to my life. Something else I've written down: when I'm in my anointing, there's an ease. Like what I'm up here doing right now tonight, I'm not nervous, I'm not uptight, I'm not anxious, I'm very relaxed, I'm at ease. Why? Because I'm doing what God's called me to do. But in the course of a week, just like you, sometimes I get a little bit out of my lane, and I try to take on maybe more than I can bite off, and I'm not quite as relaxed or at ease in my spirit as I am right now. Another thing I wrote down, this was good: the way to avoid sin is to avoid temptation. Now, that's good. Something else: I have no private life. My private life is His. I mean, I'm just reading you these to you to say, these are the things when you're listening to somebody preach or teach, or you're reading a book, you're looking for stuff like that. that you can easily apply. Here's something in mind. This is number 8. When God delays or says no to a prayer, it's because he has something better in mind. So probably all of us have prayed about things and didn't get the answer we wanted, or maybe not as quickly as we wanted. Well, that's all right. It's just the longer you wait, the better it's going to be. And so wait on, brother, because you're just going to get God's absolute best. And on and on and on that God's just given me little nuggets, little thoughts. He gave me a thing the other day. This is life-changing. I do a whole seminar on this, where I was home one day, just gotten off the treadmill, wasn't even thinking about this particular subject, and God gave me the 3 categories of my own life. He divided my life between my calling, my responsibilities, and distractions. And I've listed out the 7 parts of my calling. I was sharing this with my dad, and he said, "John, that's good." He added one thing to it. See, he's putting a burden on me. But he added one thing that needed to be. So I have underneath my calling 8 things. And that's what God's called me to do. That's what I'm supposed to devote my life to. Well, I have other things that are my responsibilities. I'm responsible for things. It's not exactly my calling, but I am responsible for them. And so God just told me, here's how you handle things that you're responsible for, but it's not really your calling, but you are responsible for them. And then here's how you handle distractions. And so what I'm saying is just that little thing right there that I've shared with you tonight almost as a P.S. See, God spoke something to my heart on that particular point that completely changes even how I view my own job, calling, responsibilities, and distractions. And so what I'm saying, the time that you spend in silence for God, whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, all at one time, spread out twice a day, 3 times a day, some days we miss a day, the significant thing is that we have a time each day. Yes, we read our Bible. Yes, we read whatever devotional materials we would want to read. Yes, we pray. But after we do all that, after we thank God, intercede for others, and pray for ourselves, petition, we just sit there and we just listen. And we just think, and sometimes we put our minds in neutral and see if God might say something. Now, I've noticed this. Sometimes God doesn't say anything to me in that particular moment. But God will maybe say something to me later in the day or the next day. The time we have spent sitting before Him in silence, He will honor that, if not immediately, eventually. And so you can't go wrong by applying those things to your prayer life. Was that a blessing? If it was, say amen. Father, take what we've thought about tonight, a very simple message, apply it to our hearts, and however the shoe foot fits our foot, God, help us to have a prayer life that would be organized and that would be a blessing to us, a blessing to others, and even a blessing to you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you've never been saved, tonight you need to get saved. We're talking about prayer. That's the best prayer that you could ever pray, the sinner's prayer, to receive Jesus Christ. If you're not sure that you're saved, but you want to be, pray this right now. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. I ask you to save me. I trust you to do it." Just tell him that. "I trust you, Lord." Say, "Now, Lord, during this next song, help me not to be ashamed of you. Give me the courage to come forward and make it public." In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. And all the people said,